Blog Talk Radio.
Song, here we go. Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League review show. And welcome back to the CONCACAF Champions League review show, the group stage in week six review, the final week of this CONCACAF Champions League edition as it comes to a close to the group stage. We already know who the eight teams will represent in the knockout stages starting end of February, the first week of February. And once again, it is a very easy thing to see when you do have, of course, these wonderful moments when you know who is advancing and who is not advancing. So it's a situation, once again, where you have to say that in this CONCACAF Champions League, it is exciting to watch, exciting to see, and very exciting to take a look at. A lot of interesting matches that have happened already, of course, and that is involving those teams from North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. So it's very exciting to see what has happened, and it's also very exciting to know who is advancing. Everyone already knew Group C, D, E, and F. Those sides have already advanced, but seeding-wise, it was still up for grabs for some teams. Once again, Pachuca, they already qualified for the group stage, but the draw that they picked up against Olympia, that knocked them down a few positions in the seeding. So when you see a club like Pachuca, and we all know they're clinical, these clubs that get involved from Liga MX into the CONCACAF Champions League, they don't waste any time. They waste no time at all, and when they put a hurting on you, boy, do they put a hurting on you. And for some strange reason, Pachuca had a 4-2 lead. And then all of a sudden, they allowed Olympia found a way to level the match at 4-all, scoring two goals late. So right there and then, you have a situation where for the teams that you thought were going to go through, and they are through, but instead of having 3 points and advancing higher in the standings, Pachuca finishes third, and they finish with 10 points when they probably should have had 12 points and a better goal differential with 15. But, well, you know, it probably was 17 at the time, and they would have been in first place. But for a certain club that is probably thinking to themselves, dodged a big bullet, and that's the New York Red Bulls. They would have started at home against Pachuca at Red Bull Arena in late February, then headed to Mexico over to Pachuca. But still, they're going to be facing the Vancouver Whitecaps in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. So first leg will be on February 21st through the 23rd. Second leg, February 28th through March 2nd. So that's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday situation. So there you have it right there on that one. But you have to say that seeing games that mean something and, you know, hard hitting at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen now because, you know, it's been tough seeing what happened with the Portland Timbers. Down a goal, Rolando Blackburn in the 24th minute, of course, you know, they found a way to get it one past Gleason, Jake Gleason, And then, of course, they leveled it. But we'll get back into that one in a few moments, of course. But still, it's been very, very tough. It's been very, very different and difficult to see some of these teams getting eliminated. Now, once again, you knew that in a group where it's MLS versus MLS, including, we know, the Canadian representative, which is the Vancouver Whitecaps, and how Sporting Kansas City basically crashed out of the CONCACAF Champions League through the hands of the Vancouver Whitecaps, so it wasn't basically on their own volition. But, you know, for Sporting Kansas City, though, we have to say great fight that they gave to finish off their Champions League. That Champions League that they finished off, obviously, defeating Central FC 3-1 over at the Children's Mercy Hospital Park over in Sporting, over at Kansas City, Kansas. Great shot, great job there to at least finish strong in the group. They finished second against the Caribbean side from Trinidad and Tobago. So it's a situation, once again, where Sporting Kansas City did not do themselves any favors, but they finished off at least with a win against this side from Trinidad and Tobago, even though the match they had a 2-2 draw against Central FC, who down in Trinidad, that should have been a win, but that didn't happen for them. And Vancouver, of course, clean sweep, allowing two goals, basically the last few games allowing a goal, Vancouver, to both Sporting and to Central. But still, you just have to say that for Sporting Kansas City, they found a way to just go out there and to get a win, just to at least, I wouldn't say save face, but at least feeling a little bit better about themselves, I think would be a lot better to say than to just assume that, you know, they've had a horrible round. But other than that, you've seen clubs like Pumas destroying W Connection, 8-1. And, you know, when you're on the differential right there, and it's a plus 10, you know, you saw Pumas basically padding the stats. Paco Palencia, the former Chivas Guadalajara and Chivas USA legend, the Chivas legend, managing this Pumas side. And give them credit. They found a way to get in there, and they found a way to basically separate themselves from Honduras Progreso and stuff like that. But once again, it's a situation where for these clubs, now they're moving on to the knockout stage, which will begin end of February. And once again, those sides are UNAM Pumas, UNAM Pumas from Mexico. That's Group A winners. Group B winners, Deportivo Saprissa from Costa Rica. Group C winners are the Vancouver Whitecaps in Canada from MLS. Arabe Unido in Panama, Group D. Group E is Pachuca from Mexico. And the New York Red Bulls, of course, winning Group F from the United States. And then finally, of course, you have from Group G, UANL Tigres from Mexico. And finally, FC Dallas with a major, major victory on the road down in Guatemala against Suchitepeques. Big, big victory for FC Dallas, because if they weren't going to win this one, it was mostly going to be on the points. Because if Suchitepeques would have won this one, that's the biggest upset that would have been in this group stage for in CONCACAF Champions League action. So we'll see what happens going forward, but we'll talk about the seedings later on in the show. But still, what we are seeing right now, this CONCACAF Champions League, what we are seeing is these group stages that are getting more action, a lot more physical. And maybe we'll see an upgrade with these groups. Now, once again, as many of you have heard in this article, of course, from Rob Harris of the Associated Press, current CONCACAF president Victor Montagliani, who is from Canada, and has said that he wants to change not just World Cup qualifying, but he also wants to change up what goes on with the CONCACAF Champions League, because these are the two outside the Gold Cup, which is the confederational championship of CONCACAF. You know, he wants to change up World Cup qualifying, and he also wants to change up the CONCACAF Champions League. Now, here's the thing, and, you know, this is probably a little bit more tricky than I would say when you were doing World Cup qualifying. As many of you remember, talking about World Cup qualifying, I said that I think if you're going to have 35 national teams fighting at the same time, I did put out there an idea to say, you know, let's have six groups for World Cup qualifying, five groups of six and one group of five. And, of course, regular draw, you get rid of all those early rounds, you even get rid of the semifinal round of qualifying, and then you'll have three games, or should I say 3 months of match days, two match days a month in September, two in October, two in November in 2019, and then you go into 2020, you have two in March, summer break, two in September, two in October, and then when you have, and you keep the hexagonal, no playoffs for second place. It's just straight up knockout. Then, and only then, I would have to say, if you get the group winners advancing to the hex, and you keep the hex, and you have the two in November of 2020, and then in 2021, it is two in March, two in June, two in September, two in October, and then you get your 3.5 spots. So that is where I've been coming from with this whole thing. And like I said, you know, my word is not law. If there's a better thing to do, then so be it. But, you know, until someone else makes up an idea and says, hey, let's do this and let's do that, you know, I'm all for it, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, until those changes, or if any changes are made, you know, until then, we're going to keep it the way it is. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see what will happen. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. And, you know, if there are going to be changes made, I would just suggest that this would be the best way to do it. And, of course, you do it through the rankings of FIFA, the FIFA Coca-Cola rankings. So we'll see what happens then. But back to the Champions League, I don't know what you might do. I mean, maybe you extend the match days, or maybe what you might do is maybe you add another team to each group. So you make it four clubs, or eight groups of four, I should say, and maybe you do it like that. Have we reached that deep or that far, saying, to make that adjustment? If not, then we just have to remain where we are. So we'll see what happens there. But once again, this is the CONCACAF Champions League group stage review show, week six, as we get ready to talk about what's going on here. And my first guest tonight, of course, hopefully we'll have Mr. William Conwell from Stumptown Footy in the CONCACAF Champions League. I know that was a tough one for him to take. But we start off with the show, because we're only going to talk about the clubs that were alive in these last games going forward. So, you know, just talking about the clubs that were involved in the regular matches for CONCACAF Champions League. And thankfully, joining me is the voice of not only the Dallas Mavericks of the NBA, but the voice of FC Dallas as well, and that is Mr. Mark Folliwell, talking about the big 5-2 victory for FC Dallas over Suchitepéquez in the CONCACAF Champions League and taking the top spot in Group H. Welcome back to the CONCACAF Champions League Group Stage Review Show, the final week in the CONCACAF Champions League of the group stage. FC Dallas had to get a result to take the top spot in their group over Sucha Tepequez, and they did, 5-2. The play-by-play voice, not just of the Dallas Mavericks, but also of FC Dallas, Mark Folwell joins me. Mark, welcome back, and how are you?
Greetings, Daniel. I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. I got to tell you, the result in this one was a shocker. Not so much that I didn't think they weren't going to beat Sucha Tepequez, even though they were down two goals, and then they found a way to level it, and then they just dominated the second half.
Yeah, the result certainly was a surprise, and it turned out the way that it did. Again, I'm with you. Taking 3 points, not a surprise, but to concede very early. I mean, an own goal in the fifth or sixth minute, and then go down 2-0, and then to storm back. And obviously, a red card on Sucha Tepequez in the second half helped. Who knows how much the torrential rainstorm that went down in the last 10 to 15 minutes of the match contributed to maybe Sucha Tepequez just not playing with the same, and knowing that they would have to score two goals. I mean, a draw didn't do them any good, and maybe they and been playing with 10. Maybe once the skies opened up there in Guatemala, maybe that was all he wrote in terms of their willingness to continue to put forth the level of competition and fight that they would have needed to try to, you know, turn the tables on what would have been a pretty amazing comeback in their own regard. But it was entertaining. You know, FC Dallas mixed the lineup with some regulars and some players who don't play very often, and I thought that they showed, Oscar clearly showed by the lineup that he put out there, that even with a supporter's shield looming on the line on Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles, I mean, it was not a full reserve lineup. You still had Matt Hedges and Tesho and Carlos Guerreso and Minor Figueroa. You still had a lot of first-team caliber players, first-choice-type players that were out there, and so it was important to FC Dallas. They played like it. After the first early part of the match, they certainly did, that's for sure. And the way it all worked out is I think it put them in a more advantageous position for the knockout stage. They were able to win by a significant enough margin that they lifted themselves over New York Red Bulls based on goals scored, level on goal differential, but more goals scored. And so, not to disparage Arabe and Neo of Panama. I mean, obviously, they just went through group stage undefeated. But, I think it's certainly an opportunity for FC Dallas in the quarterfinals next year. Obviously, a lot to be sorted out. Don't want to get too far down the road, but I thought they put themselves in the best possible position, all things considered, last night.
I will agree with you. I thought they did put themselves in a very good position to go out there, get the job done. Granted, behind by two, but found a way to level it at halftime. Matt Hedges, I know I talk about some of the other players on this FC Dallas team, but boy, Matt Hedges, he always seems to be at the right place at the right time. Power headers. He did that to the Galaxy and to New England Revolution in the U.S. Open Cup. He does it to Sucha Tepequez at half, just before halftime, obviously, to be in the right place and the right time to head those suckers in.
Well, you know, look, set pieces are a vital part of what FC Dallas does. And, of course, you got to get the delivery right. And with Mauro Diaz now having suffered a terrible Achilles injury that's going to keep him out for several months, the next man up in that is going to be a lot of times Mauro Rosales, one of the great assist men that we've ever seen in Major League Soccer over the last few years. I mean, that run that he had from 2011 to 2013 was fantastic with Seattle Sounders FC. So, Matt certainly was able to convert on the opportunity, but it was a perfect ball that was whipped in on the free kick. Hedges is unmarked at the back post, and both Hedges and Walker Zimmerman are, that is something that they are very, very good at. They are fantastic when it comes to coming forward on set pieces and putting themselves in a position to score off free kicks and corner kicks.
Mm-hmm. You're correct about that. And then Atiba Harris puts them ahead. Shall I just say, he gets himself into the perfect position that forced Manuel Sosa to make a save, but he parries the ball off of Harris's chest and into the back of the net.
Well, there was a time that Atiba was quite a goal scorer in this league and played up more a lot than he does now. I mean, one of the great things that FC Dallas has done with personnel, Javon Watson, was another example of this, and now Atiba's an example of this, is a player who Oscar's been able to move from being a midfield player that gets forward to use their athleticism and their fitness to drop them back into a for Javon Watson, and it was productive, and we're seeing positive things happen with that, with Atiba Harris. And the thing that Atiba knows, though, just like Matt Hedges, just like Walker Zimmerman, because he's a player of size and stature, getting up in the box when you know a good delivery is coming in is really important. And Atiba talked about that after the game last night, that he knows this from having seen the success that Matt and Walker have had on set pieces, to be up there and be ready and put yourself in the right position, and you get a ball pinging around the box like you did in that particular case last night, and you just got to be in the right place at the right time. And he was, and obviously that's a big goal, since it's the go-ahead and the game-winning goal in that particular case. It was not the best job of goalkeeping. Understand with the conditions that maybe the keeper didn't want to go to try and catch it, because there was certainly the possibility of spilling or going through his hands and right into the back of the net. But, that rebound was just very, very poorly placed, and Atiba Harris is there, and it just pings right in off of him. So the FC Dallas was fortunate, but, you get luck in any sport, and Major League Soccer is no different. You get luck whenever you work hard and put yourself in the right position to have success. And so was there luck? Of course, but there is a reason why that they were the fortunate beneficiary of said luck.
Mm-hmm. There's another own goal, this time for FC Dallas, as Miguel Gonzalez of Sucha Tepeques, he'll accidentally tap it in past his own keeper. But in the 90th minute, Carlos Lizarazo, what a strike from him, assisted by Carlos Grezo. I mean, that was a great strike.
That was a banger. What a goal that was. I mean, the thing about Lizarazo is that in some occasions in training, and if you look at some of his YouTube highlights, we just haven't seen it in an actual game with FC Dallas very often. But he does have an absolutely cannon-like left foot. The only goals that he scored this year have been in the Open Cup and CONCACAF Champions League. But to cut in, no pressure on the ball, time and space, again, don't know how much the elements might have played into it. He certainly played into it in terms of a great video, the way all the rainwater explodes off the net when that ball goes into the back of the net, because it was hit with such power and pace. But it was a great goal, and Lizarazo does have that in his arsenal, the ability to score from long range with a left foot. Very strong left foot, just haven't seen it. And not only was it great for CONCACAF Champions League and great for highlight reel and providing the final goal in terms of making up that goal differential relative to New York Red Bulls and putting them in a position to inch one spot up the seedings and play a Rabe Unido instead of being for Whitecaps FC next year in the quarterfinals in CONCACAF Champions League. But also, it's indicative of, is this someone who can help a little bit in terms of an attacking option when they play the Galaxy this week for a Supporters Shield or when they head off into MLS Cup playoffs?
Yeah. You are correct about that. I don't know if you've been able to watch any of Arabi Unido's matches, but if you have so far, what is it about Arabi Unido that concerns you when FC Dallas takes them on in the quarterfinals next year at around the end of February?
I have not had a chance to watch any of their matches in CONCACAF Champions League, but what I do know is that there are players. And, of course, who knows what's going to happen between now and then. But there are players for Arabi Unido who also play for Panama's national team as well. And so you're talking about capped internationals, players who have been in high-leverage situations in the past. I can't remember about Diel Arroyo as someone who, if he's still playing for Arabi Unido, but I know that was somebody I was told, and I saw him play well. That was somebody I was told that was a really, a really intriguing substitute type of option for Panama going into Copa America. And he came off and did play well in terms of helping them get a winner against Bolivia in Copa America. And I'm not sure if he's still with the club, with Arabi Unido. But, if he's not, I know that there's going to be some players who certainly are, top caliber players who've been called into international duty. And then the other thing is, it's a long trip. And it's going to be at a time when FC Dallas hasn't even played a regular season game yet. And obviously, Mauro Diaz isn't going to be back. And they're still not going to be in, form that they would be in if they'd had a few regular season matches under their belt. So, without having seen Arabi Unido, but that MLS teams had this past year. Playing all those four MLS sides that had to play Liga MX teams in the quarterfinals of CONCACAF Champions League. And I mean, I'm not going to blame it all on that, but the fact that those Liga MX teams have already gone through their apertura and are into the clausura, and MLS teams, meanwhile, are coming off their offseason and aren't fully fit and haven't played any regular season matches yet, I'm sure that that certainly hampers them. So that's going to be something that will be an interesting challenge that Oscar will have to navigate whenever it comes time for that next spring.
And
going right
there, you're right. And if FC Dallas does get by Arabia Unido, it will be either the Costa Rican side Deportivo Saprissa or Pachuca from Liga MX. That's another tall order in the semifinal round.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Pachuca is the Liga champs from last year. So, I mean, Omar Gonzalez there, and Dolan Pabon, and the great has played there for a time. And so, you're talking about a lot of great talent there. So, I think first things first is navigate the waters of getting past Arabia Unido, because I don't think that's going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. We'll see how Central American sides fare whenever they get to that stage, but we've seen it in the past. I mean, they can certainly perform well, and I mean, I guess I'm acting like Pachuca is going to be the team that's in there. We shouldn't act like that. I mean, Saprissa just won their group. There was a group that included Portland Timbers, and they went up there and were able to earn a draw the other night when they needed to. So Saprissa is obviously a very, very dangerous side as well.
Yes, they really are.
But yeah, shouldn't act like that it's going to be Pachuca that they're playing in the semifinals, because that obviously is far from a given.
Exactly. And before I let you go, it looks like at this particular moment in time, FC Dallas is on a run. You defeat New England Revolution in the Open Cup. You have a point or 3 points away from the Supporters' Shield. And then, of course, a big run in the MLS Cup playoffs to get to that final. What is the talk around the Dallas area, especially in Frisco? Great sold-out crowd for that Open Cup final. What's the mood right now when it comes to FC Dallas down there?
Well, it's mixed right now, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think everyone is so excited about the opportunity for another major trophy this weekend in Supporters' Shield. But it was a devastating blow to lose Mauro Diaz. And when an injury of that magnitude occurs to your best creator, and it's going to keep them on the shelf for a long time, obviously into the hopes for doing something productive in the knockout stage of CONCACAF Champions League in early part of 2017. I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough, Daniel. So I think the way people are looking at it, I'll tell you the way I'm looking at it is, man, you've got to get Supporters' Shield on Sunday so you get that second trophy. And then, of course, MLS Cup. I mean, look, I'm not going to write off FC Dallas. They defend very, very well. They've got the best center back tandem in the league, if you ask me, or at least arguably, in Walker Zimmerman and Matt Hedges. And I think that, they've got a chance. Oscar's got some things to figure out. They're going to have to make some changes formation-wise. I still think that there are quality players who can do some of the things that Diaz does, like Amaro Rosales is still very capable on the set pieces and gives you an option. And, we were just talking about a guy like Lisa Rosso, who had a great goal against Suchi Tepequez to wrap up CONCACAF Champions League. So, look, there's a lot of challenges that they've got coming in MLS Cup, and I think everybody's ready to embrace those challenges. But obviously you want to be as close as you can to full strength, and clearly they're not going to be. And clearly that's a disappointment, and it means that, your will is tested and your smarts are tested in terms of devising a way to have success. But there's a sign that hangs in the FC Dallas locker room, and it's around the academy, and it's sort of been something that Oscar has made the mantra of the club, and it's taught at the earliest levels of the academy. And it's a Spanish saying called Busca la Forma, and it means find a way. And that's what FC Dallas has tried to do all year, is just you find a way. You figure it out. Problems are going to present themselves over the course of a season. Problems are going to present themselves over the course of 90 minutes. And, it's a lot more beneficial in terms of your growth as a player if you're able to figure it out on your own rather than have somebody else figure it out for you, and rather than, whine and moan and complain about it. Figure out how to get the job done. Find a way. And that's what with this bit of adversity facing FC Dallas, that's the task before them, and I darn sure wouldn't count these guys out from being able to accomplish it. I promise you that.
It's Mark Folwell, play-by-play voice of FC Dallas as well as the Dallas Mavericks of the NBA. Thank you for your time, Mark. I appreciate it, and good luck with the rest of the season.
You got it, Daniel. Take care.
And that is, once again, Mark Folwell, play-by-play voice of FC Dallas as well as the NBA's Dallas Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks are starting their preseason right now. But a little error he made, and just to pass along real quick, he misspoke about Pachuca. Dorlan Pabon plays for Rayados, who lost to Pachuca in the Ligula last season. No problem. It's a little bit of an error, not a big deal. But anyway, Mark Folwell, once again, coming up big with helping out with the show. And, you know, there's those moments when you say to yourself, if only a certain moment in the match that, you know, a certain club team can put that ball away to take that 2-1 lead, I should say. And unfortunately for the Portland Timbers, they fall to Deportivo Saprissa with a 1-1 draw. They had to have a win. Goal differential was not going to be huge. They needed a win to go out there and to find a way to get that huge victory for themselves. And unfortunately for the Portland Timbers, they fall into second place with 7 points in Group B. Deportivo Saprissa only needed a point to get out, to take the top spot in Group B, and they do so. Dragon from El Salvador, done and dusted with only a point in 4 matches. And once again, Deportivo Saprissa does the job for themselves, and they find a way. They find a way to overtake the Portland Timbers by a final of 1-1. And, you know, that's a tough one because now you only have 3 sides, 2 from the United States and 1 from Canada representing Major League Soccer. And once again, it was a 24th-minute goal by Rolando Blackburn. And then Jack McInerney, with the assist by Jack Barmby, McInerney leveled the match 1-1 in the 57th minute. Plenty of time to get a second goal, if possible. Unfortunately, nothing came of it. And for Deportivo Saprissa, they wear the big S, the big ruby-red S. And they advance to the maroon S. They advance to the knockout stages, to the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. Darlington Nagbe, I gotta say, Nagbe destroyed Deportivo Saprissa every time he touched the ball. Every time he touched the ball, Darlington Nagbe was so big. So big when he had the ball at his feet, attacking Saprissa, attacking the defense, finding ways to get fouled, and setting up the Timbers for a dangerous set piece. Other than that, I mean, I thought Portland did a decent job, but they thought they did a good job, actually. I just think that right there and then, you're seeing Deportivo, just seeing Portland Timbers, I should say, trying to get that second goal, and they just couldn't do it. And good defense at the same time from Saprissa to stop the Timbers. So all you can say is, Portland did their best. Unfortunately, Saprissa edged them in the result department with the away draw, and we'll see what Portland will do next year or for the next edition of the CONCACAF Champions League. It's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen, but right now I just have to say that for the Timbers, it was just, I just don't think they could overcome what they were trying to do. And you know what? If they didn't win their last match against Dragon, this one would not have been important. That's for sure. Because we had to make sure, or at least at least the Timbers had to beat Dragon to get into this win and you're in match against Deportivo Saprissa. And they did that. And now all you can do is go out there and just find a way to go out there. And now Saprissa will advance to the knockout stages in these quarterfinals. So it's going to be very interesting to watch. And once again, Sporting Kansas City, it's been, you know, just got to say, though, is that I thought they finished strong in this CONCACAF Champions League games once again. I thought they looked good in this one. Obviously, you wish they can do a little bit better, but right here and right now, the opportunities that were coming for Sporting Kansas City, unfortunately, they just did not do well to take advantage of them. And like I said, strong finish. Finished in second place, a 3-1 victory over Central FC. Of course, they were probably dead and buried before this whole thing even got started. So, you know, once again, Central FC, they couldn't play spoiler against Vancouver. But then again, it wasn't going to matter anyway because Vancouver's probably going to take the top spot regardless. So there you have it as, you know, 12 points, clean sweep in all their matches, scoring 10, allowing 2 for a plus 8 on the differential. So, you know, once again, it's a situation where Sporting Kansas City, just a solid finish. Just a solid finish. Let me say this, though. And even though I would love to have John Jagoub back on the program, he's busy at the moment, unfortunately, with high school football down in Austin. It's just around the Austin, Texas area. Let me say this. When did you ever think you were going to see a club from Liga MX being eliminated by another team from a different country? Forget about the knockout stages for a second here. Just bear with me for a second. You know, Arabe Unido, and let's give credit to Panamanian Football Federation. Give them credit for the Panamanian FA. They were sick and tired of seeing their country not doing well in the UNCAF tournaments, finally getting into the Gold Cup and for the last couple of editions. And the one elusive thing for Panama is, of course, not qualifying for the World Cup itself. And now, you know, they're on the verge of qualifying for the World Cup. And as an American citizen, you know, your hands were kind of tied because Panama was hosting the United States at their national stadium, and Mexico would have been eliminated from World Cup qualifying altogether. Panama would have gone in either as a third place position or I think in the playoff position in fourth. But because the United States, which look, you cannot tell Jurgen Klinsmann, tank the game. But, you know, what are you going to do? You have to play your game. You have to play your game. And, you know, in a certain way, you were kind of rooting for Panama because you wanted Mexico to lose. And Mexico had that crazy moment where everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong that year. Almost not qualifying for Brazil for 2014. Losing horribly in the Confederations Cup, and, you know, also losing horribly in the Gold Cup in that edition. So, you know, it's a situation where you just have to think to yourself, Panama and Arabe Unido taking the top group spot in D, the top spot in Group D, and not only did Arabe Unido defeat Monterrey not once, but twice. especially defeating Monterrey in their stadium. I mean, you never thought you'd see that. And then when Arabe Unido hosted Monterrey, it was a 2-1 victory on September the 14th. Everyone in Panama, especially if you're an Arabe Unido fan, you probably were celebrating defeating one of the tougher sides in all of Liga MX. And all you can say is this. You know, Panama is becoming dangerous. Panama is becoming a tough opponent. And as we get into the hex and get ready for the hex, Panama will not be an easy opponent. And obviously, Panama is probably looking for some revenge on the United States, because they got eliminated in the final group stage game, or should I say the final hex game. But once again, you know, Arabe Unido, I have to give them credit, because, you know, when they qualified for these CONCACAF Champions League, they were flopping all over the place. They were diving. They were faking injury. They were just going down every opportunity they got. Now they know how to play. Now they know what to do when they're in the CONCACAF Champions League. Now they're doing the things that you expect them to do, and to do it well, and that is play pretty football, technical football, sound football. And that's what I think Arabe Unido is going to do here. I think they are a dangerous side. They've improved themselves, and they're going to be a problem for whoever faces them, which will be, of course, FC Dallas in the knockout stages. And we'll see what could happen here. Strength versus strength, we don't know, but we'll find out. But let's go ahead now. Seeds 1 through 8. Top seed, Vancouver Whitecaps representing Canada. Arabe Unido, second seed representing Panama. Pachuca of Mexico, third seed representing Mexico, as well as Pumas in the fourth position and Tigres in the fifth position. Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. Sixth seed is Deportivo Saprissa representing Costa Rica. And then the United States, FC Dallas representing the United States in seventh place, and the New York Red Bulls in eighth place. Here are the matchups right now. One through eight. One through eight is the Vancouver Whitecaps taking on the New York Red Bulls. And then in the upper bracket, in the lower bracket, top part, it will be FC Dallas taking on Arabe Unido. And then the 3-6 section in the quarterfinals, Deportivo Saprissa, who finished sixth, will be taking on Pachuca, finishing third. And then we have the All-Mexico matchup, Pumas versus Tigres. So that will be 4 and 5. Here is how it's going to go. The winners of the Red Bulls Whitecaps All-MLS matchup will face the winners of the All-Mexico matchup, either Pumas or Tigres. FC Dallas, Arabe Unido winner, will face the winner of the Deportivo Saprissa-Pachuca matchup. So, first leg for the quarterfinals, February 21st through the 23rd. Second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals, February 28th on Tuesday, Wednesday, March 1st, or Thursday, March the 2nd. Those are the dates for the quarterfinals, and as we try to get the other dates going, of course, the first leg for the semifinals will be March 14th through the 16th, and then the second leg will be in the beginning of April from the 4th through the 6th. So there you have it. And then the finals will all be in April, and it will be disputed during the last 2 weeks of April in 2017. So it's a very, very interesting time now if you are either MLS or Liga MX. But the point is very simple. The point is this, is that we're having ourselves a pretty good You just hope for a very good CONCACAF Champions League run, like it was when Montreal Impact had that big run in 2015. Unfortunately, losing to Club America in the final, even though they had a 1-1 draw at the Azteca, but they got blown out at the Olympic Stadium. So, tough one. But now we're going to have to wait and see what this will all be about. And it should be exciting. It should be wonderful to watch. I really think we're going to get ourselves pretty good action here. And hopefully we'll see what happens. And all I can do is Sorry, I've been a little information that the passed along to me. But, I would like to think it's going to be exciting. And for me, it's going to be exciting, too. And I'll tell you why I'm excited about this. I'm always excited about every single edition of the CONCACAF Champions League because, I understand, it's not Europe. It's not Copa Libertadores in South America. It's not UEFA Champions League in Europe. I understand all that, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I understand they don't have it. But the point is that we have to be excited for this because this is our Champions League now. We can definitely say completely, we can definitely say this because this is what we have to hope for to get into, if possible, the FIFA Club World Cup. Now, I know it's all made up and everything, but this is the opportunity. If an MLS team can finally get in there, this is the opportunity to show the world, hey, listen, you called us this, you called us that, you keep calling our league a retirement league. Well, guess what? Here we go. This is our chance now to prove to all of you that we have an opportunity. If an MLS club does make it, whether it be the FC Dallas, Vancouver, or the Red Bulls, to get that big opportunity to go in there and to take a result, and maybe, just maybe, the opportunity to face whoever wins the Champions League, to get that opportunity to face a side, whether it's La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, or the Premier League itself. That's the opportunity that awaits this MLS side, whoever gets there. Because, sooner rather than later, this has to happen. It has to happen. It needs to happen. You cannot worry anymore about all these things that, you're never going to get this, you're never going to get that, and blah, 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 say we told you stuff. But it's not about that. It's about doing well and finding a way to get that opportunity and going forward. So it's going to be exciting. And for me, I will say this. I have never seen in person, whether it be the Red Bulls or another MLS club, that have gotten this far. On TV, yes. In person, no. So that's the situation that is in front of all of us. And, I would love to see what is going to happen when we get to, or at least seeing a club getting that far. Goal aggregate, away goals rule counts. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be fantastic. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I really hope the Red Bulls, FC Dallas, or Vancouver Whitecaps, obviously have to wait and see what's going to happen with the Red Bulls and the Whitecaps, but whoever advances to the final, cheer them on, root for them, and hopefully for the league that everything will be just fine, because that's the thing. That's the one thing I think that we have to have. We need to have our MLS to finally say, hey, listen, we have the FIFA Club World Cup Championship. And even though you'll hear people make excuses, you can tell them, so, you know, you tell us we're not good enough to get ready for the knockout stage, yet all of a sudden when we finally win one, you're saying we were lucky because of what? During the preseason themselves? No. You can't make up this baloney as you go along. You can't do that. It's either you think we're crap, or you say to us, hey, congratulations, you know, you proved us wrong, you proved me wrong, and happy that you were able to win it. I think we all know what is available out there. I think we all know what the situations will be. But once again, this is going to be tough. This is going to be huge. It's going to be hard. And I really think, for these three sides, they're going to be fighting hard to get back to where they need to go, or at least to get there. And we will see what the situation will happen when we get over there. But once again, we'll see what happens, and we'll see who does what. So let's already discuss who's going where into the 17-18 CONCACAF Champions League. As we already know, FC Dallas won the U.S. Open Cup Championship. They're on the verge of winning the Supporters' Shield, but even if they don't win the Supporters' Shield, Colorado Rapids, if they win the Supporters' Shield, they'll go ahead. But even if FC Dallas does win the Supporters' Shield, Colorado Rapids will go to the CONCACAF Champions League as the next best American team in the overall table that has not qualified. So we'll see what the Rapids will do. Winning the 2016 Canadian Championship, of course, Toronto FC representing Canada. So we already have two sides from the Western Conference going to the CONCACAF Champions League. We have Toronto FC representing Canada going to the CONCACAF Champions League. In reality, the New York Red Bulls will make a return as the Eastern Conference regular season champions, and they will return to the CONCACAF Champions League. It's a 13-goal swing between the Red Bulls and New York City FC for the top two spots in the East. I don't believe New York City FC is going to score that many goals to make up for it. It's not going to happen. A win or a draw will officially stamp the Red Bulls' advancement to the CONCACAF Champions League, and a loss with the 13-goal swing will make sure that New York City FC advances. Remember, if New York City FC wins and gets the 3 points, they will tie the Red Bulls for the East. But they also have to make up the goal difference on a plus 13. So that's a huge disadvantage right now on New York City FC. Red Bulls, a win and a draw will put them in. A loss and losing 13 goals will put New York City FC into the CONCACAF Champions League. So that's what you got to hope for, and we'll see what happens as we get up there. But other than that, this has been a very good CONCACAF Champions League. I think this CONCACAF Champions League edition has been it's been great. And all you can say is that you want to see what's going to happen next year. Now let's hope we get some great moments as well. And let's all hope it's all going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. And we'll see what happens and who advances from UNCAF Central America, Mexico, Liga MX, Apertura, Clausura. Let's not forget those that represent the Caribbean Football Union, who is going to get from there. So here we go. I want to say thank you, as always, to those that have helped me out here from Stumptown Footy, William Conwell. I also want to thank John Sikaris, 86 Forever, both from SB Nation. Mike Kuhn from Down the Byline blog. I also want to thank my good friend Mark Followill, who is the play-by-play voice for FC Dallas. And I also want to thank my good friend John Jagu. Unfortunately, couldn't finish it up, these shows. He's working high school football in Austin, Texas. So, but hopefully we'll have him back for the knockout stage, and as well as World Cup qualifying, to preview World Cup qualifying, because you know what's coming in November. On that Friday, on the 11th, the United States taking on Mexico in the beginning of the hexagonal. So my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you, as always, for listening to this program. Join me again as we talk about more American soccer over here at blogtalkradio.com/Feuersteins Fire. Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time very well. And thank you again for being a part of these CONCACAF Champions League group stage review shows. Let's get ready for early 2017 for the knockout stage review shows. Thank you, as always. Have a good night. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.